Thank you, Mike, Patty. Have your Bibles with you this morning? Follow along with me, Romans chapter 12. Romans in the 12th chapter. We've been in this series over the last several weeks of renewing our minds. We began talking about the fact that God's desiring to transform us. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians talks about the fact that we are being transformed from glory to glory. It's a process that we go through. And part of that transformation is based on us being able to renew our minds, to renew our thinking. We talked about the roles of our mind, that there's this earthly mind, this fleshly mind, but then we have this spiritual mind. In Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 22 or so there, Paul describes this struggle in his mind. He says, the things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I do want to do. Those are the things I don't do. And he says there's this battle that's raging there all the time. Someone said, what consumes your mind is what controls your life. What consumes your mind is what controls your life. Okay? And so it's important that if we want to have a life, God, if we want to live a victorious life, then we have to have our minds on those things of God. And so Paul here is writing about this inner struggle that we face in life, a struggle of having a desire to do things and that we don't do, and finding it hard to do the things that we know are right. And so there's this constant battle. I heard the story about a man who had two old dogs out there, and they were always fighting with one another. And someone asked him, said, which one wins the fight? And he says, well, the one I feed. Right? It's the one we feed. The one we feed is the one that's nourished more. The one we feed is the one that has more energy and all that. And so what we feed in our mind is going to determine then which mind is going to win. Is it going to be this earthly, fleshly mind, or is it going to be the spiritual mind? And so listen, God understands that. Our born-again spirit then desires to commune and to consume the things of God. But our earthly mind desires to consume the things of this world. We want to be couch potatoes. We want to sit and listen to the world's message for hours and hours and hours. We want to turn on the TVs, and we want to turn on social media, and we want to hear all of those things. And so the spirit man in us has to be fed more than that natural man. Otherwise, the natural man is what's going to be the strongest, and those desires are going to overtake the desires of the spiritual man. I even heard a preacher one time was talking about the fact that the impact, the influence of the world's message. He said he was sitting at home by himself one day, one Saturday afternoon. He was watching the football games, and he was just kind of kicked back there in the recliner enjoying himself, and said a beer commercial came on and said it was so appealing to him. He said, I got up and started going in the refrigerator to look for a beer. And he said, I hadn't had a beer in my refrigerator in years, okay? Listen, that's the power of the world's message to us today. And that's why we have to guard our minds to those things. And we don't recognize that this battle that's won or lost is in the mind in our life here. Long before we commit an act, it's in our minds. Listen to what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Listen to how James describes this. He says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It begins with the thought. We have a thought in our mind. That thought takes, that seed is planted, it takes root, and then we continue to water that by what we listen to, what we think about, and before long, we act upon it. And we think, why did I do that? It's because we gave our minds to it in the first place. We didn't guard our minds. Remember last week we talked about the fact, the process of how we renew our minds. We watch what we think. We guard our minds. We direct those thoughts. We take those thoughts captive. We think about the things of God. We place ourselves in a position to hear the Word of God. And so you see, we find here that what we feed grows in our life. And so Paul gives us this word here this morning. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 2, he says, "Be ye transformed by the don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So we talked about the purpose of renewing our mind, or the process of renewing our mind. We talked about this principle. So this morning, I want to talk to us about the purpose. Why is it so important that we have our minds renewed for this transformation process? Notice what he says there in the latter part of that verse. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That little word "that" is an important word. It's a primary preposition here. It indicates the point or the meaning of the verse. It gives us direction or purpose. I hear this statement a lot of times. Well, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. I want to know what God's will is for my life. And the more you grow in your walk with the Lord, then the more His will becomes clear to you. But it's in the process of walking with God, it's in the process of having your mind renewed, that your life is transformed and you begin to understand what God's purpose and will is for your life. So this morning, first of all, if you're looking for God's will in your life, let me just tell you, you won't find God's will for your life hanging out in all the worldly places. You won't find God's will and purpose and direction for your life listening to what the world listens to. You won't find God's perfect will and God's direction for your life thinking like the world thinks. Therefore, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think about this. When Jesus was crucified, he was crucified in a place called Golgotha. Known as what? The place of the skull. I'm telling you, Satan knows the importance of your mind. Satan understands the importance of your thinking. And he knows that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And Satan, the last thing Satan wants is for your life to be transformed. And so that's where he does battle. He wants to crucify. He wants to kill Christ in your mind. To take away those thoughts from your life. And if he can get you to, if he can keep you or prevent you or distract you from thinking on the things of God, his battle is won. And so it's important that we understand the principles here of renewing our minds, the process, but understand the purpose then. So this renewed mind, it allows you then the ability to discern God's will. In the New International Version, it says this: then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Be ye transformed, don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. This word "prove," it means to discern. The notation of proving a thing, whether it be worthy to be received or not. When we have a renewed mind, we're able then to read and hear things and say, that's good, or that's not good. This is something I need to give thought to. This is something that's just a distraction. So that you have kind of this practical proof, this experimental knowledge of the will of God through the process of these thoughts in your mind. And so proving is defined as reconsidering our considerations and rethinking our thinking. It's amazing to me how before I was a child of God, in my life, some of my thought process, this is how everybody thinks, right? Everybody thinks like I think, right? And then when I became a child of God, I realized my thinking wasn't the right kind of thinking. And I had to change my thinking. That's the process. That's the result of God transforming our lives, renewing our minds so that our thinking can be changed. Now, one scholar puts this. He notes that the purpose of the transforming or renewal of our mind is that Christians may prove, that is, discern in their experiences what the will of God is. It helps you to be able to define, to understand, to be able to translate the things that are happening in your life as to, are these things the will of God for my life? Are these things a distraction from the will of God for my life? You see, an unrenewed mind cannot do this. It's destitute of moral discernment. It has no proper moral faculty. Look what it says in Romans chapter 2 earlier in this letter. Romans chapter 2 in verse 17. Romans chapter 2 in the 17th verse. He says, "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" He says, "Man, look, here's your mind. Man, your mind's so messed up, you're saying one thing and you're doing something else." And so we have to be able to discern what God's will is for our lives. You see, when the Pharisees ask about the day of the Lord, there in Luke chapter 12 and verse 54, "Then Jesus said to the multitudes, 'Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see a south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather, and there it is.' Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time?" It is that we have so much understanding, or we believe that we have so much understanding about things in life, and yet when it comes to the will of God, we fail to discern what God's will is. We think, listen, somebody has fooled us into thinking that we can predict the weather. And we're about as good at predicting the weather as we are at discerning the will of God sometimes. And it's only through a renewed mind that we have the ability to discern God's will. The ability to test and to prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It all begins with this renewed mind. Another scholar, Stafford, says this: "The mind renewed by God will be better suited to discern God's will because distractions are removed that would hinder such discernment." So when our minds are renewed, we get focused. Last week we talked about the process of renewing our mind. Remember, we talked about taking our thoughts captive. We talked about giving ourselves to the Word of God. All those things. As we're in this process of having our mind renewed, we get better and better skilled at that. And we're able to turn off those distractions so that we can focus better on the Word of God and discover the will of God. Miles says this: "Here the meaning is that the Christian's intelligence has been so renewed by grace that he now, by a holy instinct, can discern in conflicting cases the will of God from the will of self or of the world." A man who has a transformed mind, a renewed mind, is able to see the things of this world, and they're able to discern God's will and God's ways in the world. So many Christians today. I was just sharing this the other day. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, "If your faith is not firm, then you have nothing to stand on," basically. And you see, because of our inability to discern God's will and God's ways, there's so many Christians that look at the things that are happening in this world today and they're scared to death. If you knew the God that I know, you wouldn't be worried about a lot of the stuff that you're worried about. Because the Bible says that the God that we serve, the God who created us, the God who redeemed us, is the God who's given us victory over sin, over death, and over the grave. Our greatest fears. And if He's given us victory over those fears, what else do we have to fear? When our minds are renewed and our lives are transformed, then we can live victorious instead of living in fear. John 7 and verse 17. If anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. So many years ago, I was in a church, and we had a very large Mormon community in that community. The Mormon church was larger than the Southern Baptist church there in that community. And so when I went there, I would hear people say, well, they believe in Jesus just like us. And then we went through a little study, and we realized that more Baptists are converted into Mormonism than any other denomination. Because we haven't had our minds renewed to discern the spirits. We don't know what we believe, and so we just fall for anything. We've not had a discerning mind concerning the doctrines. And when we hear something, we think, oh, that sounds good to me. Rather than, hey, is this really of God or not? Here's another passage in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what it says there in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and the 8th verse. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so he says here that we're to be able to discern those things. How do we discern those things? We've got to have our minds renewed. And then he says in verse 17, he says, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, for some people, we're so struggling to find out what God's will is. And God says, I want you to know what my will is. And we act like it's some great big mystery out there. You want to know what God's will is for your life? You begin to ask God, God, transform me. Help me to renew my mind so that I can understand what your will is for my life. That's the purpose of having our... That's the purpose of spending time with God. That's the purpose of prayer. That's the purpose of reading the Bible, is so that God can transform your life through the renewing of your mind. Alexander McLaurin says this, just as when you take away disturbing masses of metal from near a compass, it trembles to its true point. So when by the discipline of which I have been speaking, there are swept away from either side of us the things that would perturb our judgment, there comes then a blessing and reward, a clear insight into that which is our duty to do. McLaurin says it's just like that compass. When that compass is being interfered with by magnetic forces, then it throws it off. But when you remove those distractions, that compass is able to do what that compass is designed to do. You see, your mind is designed to discern the will of God. And when you get rid of all the distractions of life, and you allow God to give you focus and purpose in life, then your mind can do what God designed it to do and point you to His will. And so a renewed mind, it gives us then the ability to discern God's will. But a renewed mind also gives us the ability to accept God's divine will. It's one thing to know God's will, and then it's altogether something else to accept it, okay? You know, listen, I believe there's a lot of folks today who have some sense, some idea of what God's will is for their life, but they're living in disobedience. I've told my kids this all the time. The most miserable person in the world is not a drunk living in a cardboard box on the streets of New York. The most miserable person in the world is a child of God living outside of the will of God. And I believe there's a lot of folks in church today who are miserable because they have some sense of what God's will is for their life. But they're not willing to accept God's will for their life. Listen, he says here that it's good. Notice what he says there. He says, don't be conformed with the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Whatever God's will for your life is, I want to tell you this morning, it's good. It's good. But I also want you to understand this morning that what God's will for your life is may not be all that pleasant. Can I get a witness? Come on. Man, I know that God's will for my life sometimes has required me to do things I really didn't want to sign up for. But it required an acceptance on my part to do the dirty work, to do the hard work, to do the difficult work, to face the challenges. But it is good. That it is not just good to do God's will, but God's good will means God's will is what is good. Did y'all get that? Let me say that again. I had to write it down so I can make sure I got it. Listen, that it's not just good to do God's will. God's good will means God's will is what is good. Good for each and every one of us. Paul assures us that God's will is not the great risk that so many of us fear. Paul is saying, in essence, trust God's will to be good. Test your confidence by doing God's will, and you'll discover God's way is truly good. And then that word acceptable. It means to understand and agree with what God wants of us with a view of putting it into practice. I've been places where I really didn't want to go, but I knew that's exactly where God wanted me to be. And I had to accept the fact that this is where God's planted me in this season. This is where God has placed me in this place, in this time. I never forget the testimony of Miss Janet Mangan. Miss Janet was a retired school teacher, librarian. Her husband was an educator. They never had any children. There's an elementary school that's named after him. Miss Jeanette I never met him, but I knew her. She was widowed in our church. And we would go and visit, Rhonda and I, and visit with her. And man, just a sweet-spirited lady. And it came a point in time where she got to that place in life where she knew she couldn't live by herself anymore. She couldn't live alone. They didn't have any children. So she had a niece and nephew-in-law that kind of helped take care of some things. And so they came down and they were going to try to help her find a place that she could transition into. And she said, y'all just go pick out two or three different places, check them out, see what y'all think. And it'll be all right. And they went and they checked out some places and they came back and they said, you want to go look at these places? Just look at each one of them. She said, no. She said, I don't need to go look at them. She said, y'all just decide which of the ones you think are the best. She said, because God's got a plan and I'm going to like it. And so they did their investigation. They finally settled on the one that they thought would be the best. And they made the arrangements to take her there. And the day came and they drove up to the place. And before they got out of the car, they said, Now, Ms. Mangle, understand. When we get in here, if you don't really like it, we can still go to these other places. She said, no. She said, God's got a plan. And I'm going to like it. Some of you need to understand this morning. God's got a plan. You just need to like it. Right? That's accepting God's will. It's one thing to understand and discern God's will, but then to accept God's will. The good will of God doesn't always equal fun and excitement. Listen to this passage over in Matthew in the 26th chapter. Matthew chapter 26, listen to verse 38. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 38. This is Jesus' prayer in the garden before he goes to the cross. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and he fell on his face and he prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He said, "Look, Lord, listen. I don't really want to do this. The Bible says that he was sorrowful. He was hurting. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't glamorous. It wasn't fun. But he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will." And because Christ was obedient to the will of his Father, he died on the cross. But it was good. It was good for him. It was good for us. Amen? Listen, there's been those times in our lives where we have to say, "Lord, your will be done." In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, there's such a cloud of witnesses around us. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy," listen, "for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross." The moment wasn't exciting, and the moment wasn't glamorous, but man, it was good. And it was joyful that Christ followed the will of God. You see, regardless of what the Lord may ask us to do, we'll find out in the end it's good. There's been those times in seasons of life where Rhonda and I have been through some things, and I remember Rhonda sharing this with me one morning. She said, "You know, I've been reading through the Psalms, and I've been reading through some of the things that David was facing." And she said, and I start to pray, and I think, "Lord, I don't want to sign up for that." Certain situations we pray for, and we go, "I don't know if I really want to pray for that or not." Because I know that if God answers that prayer, it's going to be hard for me. But in the end, it's going to be good. But it's hard to see the good in the moment, right? But that's what a renewed mind gives us the ability then and the will to accept God's will. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, I know a lot of spiritual folks that spout that verse out a lot of times. But I want you to understand something. This verse says, "And we know that all things work together for good." Doesn't mean all things are good. I'm telling you, there's some tough stuff out there that we have to go through. But it works for the good of God's kingdom work. It works good for the souls of people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." The difficulties that we're going through now, those are seeds that we're planting. One day we'll reap, and they're good, good seeds. I think about old Joseph. Joseph was abused by his brothers. You know, they didn't like him. They picked on him all the time. And then they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery, told his daddy he was dead. I'm telling you, I feel a whole lot better about my childhood, you know. Some of the things I did to my brothers and sisters, I tell them, "Hey, read Genesis. It could have been worse, you know. You ought to love me, you know." Think about old Joseph. And then his father dies, and man, his brothers are all like, "Oh man, it's over with now." And Joseph there in Genesis chapter 50 says this, "What you meant for evil, God used for good." Wasn't good. It wasn't good for me. I didn't necessarily enjoy all of that. Man, I was falsely accused. I was thrown in prison. I was forgotten about. But how God used that for his good, for his glory, for his honor. And I'm thankful to be a part of it. See, as we live for him, we're assured that his will for our lives will be good and acceptable. Not only to us, but to God. Here, I wrote this down. Don't be afraid of the will of God for your life. Accept the will of God because it's good. Don't be afraid of God's will for your life. Accept God's will for your life because it'll be good. Amen? And then lastly, the renewed mind. It allows us then to accomplish the doing of God's will. You see, the renewed mind, it not only allows us to discern God's will and then to do or to accept God's will, but then it gives us the grace to even do it, to follow through on it. This word here in this passage says to perfect. He says to don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word perfect, it means that it's brought to an end. It means that God's will is brought to a conclusion, that it's finished. Jesus, after he had prayed that prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane, went to the cross, God, your will be done. And on the cross, he said, it's finished. I've done the will of God. That's my desire at the end of the day, at the end of life, to be able to say, I did it. God, I did what you wanted me to do. God, I've accomplished what you wanted me to accomplish. To finish, to complete. You see, when the mind is renewed and the whole life is changed, then the will of God is perfectly fulfilled. For really, our minds being transformed, our minds being renewed, and our lives being transformed is God's will for our life. You understand that, right? You see, God had a perfect plan. God created mankind, placed him in a garden so that we could have perfect fellowship with him. And because of sin, we removed ourselves out of God's perfect plan. And then we've been over here, we've been trying to get back into God's perfect plan. And God says, you can't do it on your own. You don't have enough willpower to do it. And so he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we commit our life to following Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, not just a believer in Jesus, but being a follower of Jesus, then God begins to do a work of restoration in our life. And our minds are renewed, our lives are transformed, and our relationship with God is restored. That's what God's plan is for your life. It's for your life and your relationship with Him to be renewed and restored. And when your life is renewed and restored, then your whole life is transformed. Listen, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand, what? Perfect and complete in all the will of God. His concern was that the Colossians would stand firm in God's will. That is, that they would stand mature, that they would stand perfected. That's why there's no such thing as a mature Christian. There's maturing Christians. And one day, we're going to be perfected when we stand before Him. Amen? But right now, we're in the process of being transformed from glory to glory. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That. There's that word again. That the man of God may be complete, perfected, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what God's will is for your life. It's to perfect you, to mature you. You see, so many people suffer from a lack of feeling complete. Man, they feel like there's this void in their life. They feel like there's this emptiness in their life. And listen, you are never complete outside of the will of God. You want to feel complete? You want to feel whole? You want to feel restored in your life? You want to have meaning and purpose in your life? Then you put yourself in a position before God. And you spend time in His Word and prayer. and you allow God to transform you through the renewing of your mind. And all of a sudden, all those insecurities you felt, all those fears that you've struggled with, all of those things begin to just fade away. And you begin to live a life of fullness and joy because of God's will being restored in your life. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." If you've ever wanted to write down what God's will is for your life in a simple sentence, here it is. I hope you have your pen and paper ready. Here it is. God's first will for your life is that you would believe and trust in Him. Simple as that. God's will for your life is that you would just simply believe and trust in Him as Lord and Savior. Second, God's will for your life is that you would live a holy life. And it's through the renewing of our mind that God gives us that ability then to walk according to His will. A transformed mind produces a transformed will by which we become energized. That is, enabled with the Spirit's help to lay aside all of our own desires and all of our own plans and just to simply trust and accept God's will no matter what for our life. Now, this isn't easy. It's especially for the natural response. The natural response seems to say that, you know, we can't do this. And we run from God. But the spirit man runs to God. There's really no middle ground. You can't be of the world and of God at the same time. You're committed to one or the other. Hebrews 13, verse 20, I close. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. "Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead." That's pretty powerful right there, right? The same God who raised Christ from the dead. The same power, the same force, the same will of God that raised Christ from the dead. That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, to whom glory forever and ever. Amen. The same power that God used to raise Christ from the grave, God wants to put that power in your life to renew your mind, to transform your life. This morning, have you ever come to that point and place in your life where you put yourself before Christ and say, "God, here I am. I'm empty. I'm unfulfilled. I'm incomplete. God, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. And so here I am. God, give me what I need to complete me." This morning, God offers you His love, His grace, His mercies, His forgiveness. He gives you Himself so that you can be complete. You feel incomplete this morning? Come to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, today we love You. And again, Father, we're thankful for the morning. And we're thankful for Your Word. God, we thank You for the power, God, that works in our minds to renew us. God, that our lives can be transformed. God, I know in my own personal life, God, what a mess I've made. God, how unfulfilled I've been. And God, only until I came to that point and place where I took myself off the throne and allowed You to sit in the place of power and prominence in my life. God, allowing You to take control, God, did I find fulfillment. And God, I see and I hear since so many today, God, that are living empty, unfulfilled, fearful lives. God, without hope. And I pray, God, this morning, God, that you would give them a mind to comprehend that there's a God who created them, and a God who loves them, and a God who desires his very best for them. And God, I pray that this morning they would simply give up all that they understand about themselves to all that they understand about Christ Jesus. And God, today that you would begin the process of transforming their life. And Father, I know there's some folks here in this room, God, that many years ago trusted you as their Lord and Savior. But God, life's had a way of bombarding their minds. And God, even though they're sure of their salvation, God, they're shaky in a lot of other areas of life. And I pray, God, today that you would give them, God, the confidence to live life boldly. God, to live life abundant, knowing of your love for them. And God, help them today to have their minds renewed. God, I pray this morning that we could just focus on you. God, that we could look full in your wonderful face. And the things of this old world would just grow strangely, strangely dim. So, Father, this morning I pray. I pray for minds to be renewed. I pray for lives to be transformed. And I pray, God, you be magnified and glorified through it all. We love you, Father. We ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Brother Mike's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation this morning. This is an invitation time. It's a time that we invite you to respond to what God has shared with you. Maybe this morning you need to respond by just surrendering your will to God's will. Maybe you need to respond this morning by just giving God your mind to say, God, help me. Capture my thoughts. God, renew my thinking today. Maybe you need to respond to God's word this morning by just simply putting your faith and your trust in Him for the first time as Lord and Savior in your life. This morning we invite you to respond to God's word. It's also an invitation that we give you as a church. We invite you to come and be a part of what God's doing right here in Trinity. To put yourself in a family of believers that where we can fellowship and where we can encourage one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, rejoice with one another, so that you can come and grow, and together we can have our minds and our lives renewed and transformed. So this morning we invite you to come. This morning, as we stand and as we sing, would you respond to God's word today? You come right now. Praise God for you being here this morning. Hey, listen, tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll be having small groups meeting here, and Mr. William and Mr. James will be teaching a class on the origins of the Bible. That's going to be an interesting study. And then following those times, we're going to have a little fellowship time. We're going to have ice cream and cake and whatever you decide to bring, okay? And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of this evening and get plugged into a group. And I know that God will bless. We're going to actually, this is kind of, we're kind of wrapping up. Let me just kind of explain for a second. We're kind of wrapping up some things in some of our small group times. We've been doing some small group training on how to lead a group and that sort of thing. And so we got just a couple of weeks of finishing that up, and then starting in August, we're going to actually have some small groups that you'll be able to choose from. There'll be maybe some classes for some men, some women, and that sort of thing, and so you'll have a kind of a variety of small groups to choose from. Some of those will meet on Sunday night, some of those might meet another night of the week, and so you'll have ample opportunities to get plugged in, to be able to talk about life, and have your mind renewed. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. Okay. We'll make sure you hear me. Bye. And bye. Okay? All right. Hey, listen, again, we've been so delighted to have you in God's house this morning. Those that have been watching, those that have been listening online. For those that are right here, we appreciate you being here today. We're so glad that you've come to worship with us and be a part of the day. And I pray that God's blessed you richly. Hey, stay cool out there. And invite somebody to be with you tonight, okay? All right. Hey, Mike, let's sing something this morning. Hey, I'm going to throw you a curveball, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We just sang that this morning. That is my all-time favorite hymn. And so I just felt like I might ask, and you might do that for me today. So, but no, listen, hey, there's no sweeter name than Jesus. Amen. There is nothing like that name. Let's sing this morning.